will probably happen in February, that we'll enter into something that God is wanting for the entire body of Christ. I don't think it's just Rollins. I see it nationwide. I see it worldwide. Talk to other pastors and hear what they're saying. And God is wanting the church to surrender to Him. Okay, God is wanting the body of Christ to give it up, right? To give up themselves and to give up in everything and follow after Him and pursue Him again. Many of us had that experience as a young Christian. Maybe we, you know, gave our life to Christ by saying, Jesus, I die to myself, I give you my life. Okay, but some have waned in that thought process or that lifestyle over the years, and God is calling us back to Himself. And I believe we'll get to that through prayer and fasting. Okay, that'll be in the coming months as we head into that. We're going to talk about surrender and yielding ourselves to God in a way like we never have. Okay, I told you, I am passionate. We are going to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ than we did last year. Okay, we are going to bring them into the kingdom. I don't care if they come here. They've got to get in the kingdom of God. Okay, time is running short. Okay, if you don't know that, it is. I sense that in my spirit, that we've got to stay focused on what we're truly here for. And the body of Christ has got into all these social clubs and all these just things that are straying from the true mission of Christ, which is to go and make disciples, okay, to lead people into the kingdom and then help train them up in the way they should go. So we are passionate this year about pressing more into that as we head into this coming year. So let's get into the Word of God. Father God, we're here as your children. Father, we are here in love with you. We are here receiving of the love that you have for us. And this morning I pray, Lord, as we talk about prayer, we talk about fasting, we talk about pressing in and communicating with you and how to do it and who to pray for and how to pray and all these things, Lord, that, Father, that you'll speak to us, like you said earlier, in volumes, Lord, into our lives to be able to help us to really allow these verses and this word to penetrate our life and to change us from the inside out so that we can then go forth as a prayer warrior, as somebody who prays and stands in the gap for others, who stands in the gap for their church, their community, their friends, their family, and others, Lord, as we go forth into this new year. We're trusting you, Father. Take us deeper today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So many of you know we have a start on what we're calling well, it's our bulletin board, but we have declared a special month of prayer and fasting. And on that board back there, there is something that is unique. We haven't done this in Rollins, Wyoming, to my knowledge. We've been here for many years and have not done this to this degree yet. But we've declared this a special month of prayer and fasting. And on that board back there, there's going to be scriptures that talk about prayer and fasting and some of those things, as well as you can see the heading on it says praying and fasting more in 24. Okay, it has to do with standing in the gap for our community, for our church, for our loved ones, for the people around us. And on that board there is a map. Okay, and there's some markers hanging there that as you walk, you drive, you cross through the streets, you're driving from one side of the town to the other, and you're calling out what you're seeing and you're praying for the people and the circumstances of people's lives as you drive by. You might drive through one place and, man, maybe the yard is just, you know, full of clutter and stuff. And so you might call out and say, God, I pray for that family or that person or whoever it is that lives in that dwelling place with all that clutter, that they can see through all that and find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That we can drive and we can talk and we can pray and we can enlist the power of God in every part of this community as we, you know, and as you do, then mark it off on this map that, hey, I drove down this street or I was in this trailer corridor, I did this and, you know, was over here. And within a few weeks' time, we're going to see that entire city, the entire city of Rollins, covered in the prayer of God's people, saying, we want these people to come into the kingdom. We're fighting for them. We're standing in the gap for them and delivering that message. So as we enter into this month, we know that I've seen it around the country, but other pastors are also doing the same thing. Not maybe the map stuff and all that, but it's a time of prayer. It's a time of fasting like we need to get into more than we have before. You know, calling for the people of God to come together in prayer and fasting is a powerful and biblical way to affect change. okay, in a community. We have a community that has been hardened over the years, okay, and it has a lot of hardened hearts, and I've watched in the body of Christ and other churches and other parts of the town how it is affected, and we need to break through some of that. The prophet Joel, many of you have heard of, that he spoke to God's people. And as he did, he calls them to come back to the covenant that God had established with them. Okay, remember the covenant of old. Remember what God has put in place, and to call that back and get yourself back in line with that. Okay, he felt compelled to speak these words the way that he did and in the manner in which he did because he saw clearly the weakened spiritual state of the people. He saw that if Jesus were to, you know, return, you know, basically, is I'm putting it as Jesus returned in the near future, most of the church would not make it. That's pretty scary. I'm going to say that again because I believe that if Jesus came back, let's say he came back in the very near future, or we head into, however you see it, we go into tribulation for the next 3.5 or 7 years, or where, however you see that. If that began today, most of the church would not make it through that. I am determined to be one of those guys that may have said it's possible unto the end shall be saved. And I want to endure unto the end. Okay, and I'm doing my best. I can't make people do stuff, but I'm going to pour it out there. I'm going to give you what you need to be able to make it unto the end. That is my goal as a pastor. Okay, a pastor is a shepherd. I have people or you know that God has ordained that I try to help lead them into greener pastures, help protect them from the wolves that I see in the body or that come in, okay, and try to lead us in that direction. And I am determined to do that. Well, as the prophet Joel spoke this to the people, he could see this spiritual state of the people, and I want to show you something that he said, because he saw what I see. He saw the joy and the gladness had gone out of the house of God, and he knew that God wanted it restored. It should be a passionate place where we worship God together. We join in fellowship. We can't wait to be together with each other. I don't know where that passion is gone for some people. It's still there for me. I know it's there for Margie because we talk about it. We pray about it. We read about it. You know, we're pressing in to see what God and how God can do this. But our final conclusion is that we can't make it happen. Okay, so it has to be God speaking to your hearts. Okay, and that is a spiritual moment that God has to have. Okay, well, as Joel saw that the joy and gladness had gone out of the house of God, he said these words. He said in Joel chapter 1, starting in verse 14, he says, "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as destruction from the Almighty shall it come." And Joel says, "Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, and joy and gladness from the house of our God." He was seeing that joy, the passion for the Lord was absent. You know, you could apply this verse to the church worldwide. He was speaking it to his people, and I think it still applies that way. You could also apply it to a local church like ours. You could even apply this kind of an understanding to your own personal life, your walk with Jesus. When the joy of serving God has left the house of God, it's time to pray and to fast and to seek our Lord. Unfortunately, that's just the opposite of what many Christians do. When they see that and they get to that point where, you know what, it's just not as exciting as it once was, or it's just not as, you know, that hunger's just not there for me anymore. Not realizing that they are part of the problem, and that they're called by God to be part of the solution, they just forsake that assembly or go looking elsewhere to satisfy their flesh. Okay, I told you that in the last week's message was for this coming year. It was something I believe God had inspired. And I told you that some people are going to feel uncomfortable in the coming weeks and months. That God is going to speak to you in a different way. He may speak straight to your heart in a way that you've never experienced before. And you will have at that moment the opportunity to flee and say, well, I ain't taking that. Or you'll be able to yield to God and surrender. I'm not speaking for myself. I don't stand up here and say, Gary Gilbert says you should be passionate for God. You know, Gary Gilbert doesn't say any of this stuff. I'm taking what's in the scriptures and I'm relaying it to you as the best as a teacher and a preacher of the gospel as I possibly can, so that you can see it for yourselves. God wants us to be, each of us, to be part of the solution. So when there is a heaviness, there's an oppression, rather than saying, I don't like that anymore because it's just oppressed, God is calling us to fast and to pray and to stand in a gap for one another. Because if somebody else is not passionate, guess what? It's because the devil has got them in a grip somehow, and maybe we can pray and help release them from that. Okay, to help set people free so they can seek the kingdom of God. God wants you to fast and to pray for one another, for the church, for His people. You know, calling people to come together corporately and pray breaks things open in the spiritual realm. It has been going on for thousands of years where God would call people to the assembly to pray, to fast, to stand in the gap. Remember that there is power in the assembly of God's people. There is something special in the ecclesia, in that gathering, the fellowship. Okay, there's something special in that that you cannot get out on your own or in little tiny pockets of people with itching ears telling us, preach to us what we want to hear. You will not find that glory that God wants to manifest. You know, even calling for a few people to pray makes a tremendous difference. James, in chapter 5 of James, for example, he says, if there be any sick among you, to let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Okay, the scriptures tell us how the disciples would go to the house of God to pray at certain times for scheduled prayer meetings. Did you know they had certain times that Peter and James and all that, they went up to the temple to pray as the custom was, if you read in your Bible or King James. Or they would go at a certain time and it was basically 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay, they had a prayer meeting at the church and Peter and those guys were on their way to be in that meeting. Okay, there were times that God said we should gather together, and so the people did it. Okay, that's what we do when we gather, even here on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. Ladies, those are special callings of those times to gather and pray and to fellowship. The disciples saw our Lord Jesus go off alone at times to pray. Okay, setting that example as well. There is a time to go into a prayer closet or your special place with God and pray and to seek Him. And maybe He'll tell you things for yourself. Maybe He'll tell you things for yourself or the body of Christ or something that God wants to share with somebody in your life. Okay, so Jesus set that example. It's in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. It says that straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. Other times Jesus took with Him a couple of other solid believers to pray with Him. Okay, have you ever noticed that Peter and John and some of these guys were with Jesus at special moments in His life? That's because they got it. There was something about those guys. It wasn't random. I don't believe that Jesus had those same people with Him at different times. When He raised a man from the dead or somebody was healed or those kind of moments. When He was transfigured on the mount, okay, these guys were with Him for a reason. Matthew 26, 36. This is a pretty important moment in Jesus' life, if you remember his career in Gethsemane. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and he says unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." Okay, it kind of makes it sound like who you surround yourself with matters. But you know, you can surround yourself with doubt. You could even pray with somebody who's just full of doubt and it's not in agreement. They're saying amen at the end of your prayer, but they really didn't agree with what you said. They don't believe that God can do a miracle. They don't believe that God can do this or do that. And so you just prayed with somebody that doesn't even believe. You know, praying with others that agree, praying with others that agree with you in faith has a tremendous power. Remember Jesus said, it's Matthew 18, 19, he said, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by of my Father which is in heaven." Okay, that talks about gathering together, where two or three or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst, he said at one point. Okay, he wants us to gather together. That we agree on earth as touching anything. You know, the disciples of Christ see prayer as a key principle to their faith and their relationship with God. It's not just a, maybe I'll pray once in a while. It's not just a, maybe I'll pray at mealtimes, or maybe I'll say a quick prayer before I go to sleep at night. It was a real relationship that they saw that Jesus had with the Father, and they saw it and implemented it into their own lives as well as the early disciples. At one point, if you remember, they even asked Jesus to teach us how to pray. Now, you remember that? It's in Luke chapter 11, first four verses. It says that it came to pass that as he was praying, there's our example, right? Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And he said unto them, "When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Okay, if you recall the first couple of chapters of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, it tells us that when the early church gathered together and were of one accord in prayer, that's when the Holy Ghost came upon them and empowered them to preach and share the gospel. You know, it's when we gather in a unity and have that same mindset that we believe that that person in that black Jeep that just drove needs Jesus and needs to come into the kingdom. Okay, and that we agree together in that and we pray and we stand in a gap for that person so that they can come into the kingdom. Okay, Jesus wants us to unite and pray. He even expects us to pray. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "And he," that's Jesus, "he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Okay, men ought always to pray. Paul said the same thing, right? Pray without ceasing. Okay, it should be an everyday part of our life. Jesus said many times throughout his short ministry and life, 3.5 year ministry, and maybe he said it before that because I'm sure he had a praying relationship with Jesus or with God before that. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus said this. He said, "When you pray," okay, "when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You see how Jesus is telling them, when you pray, okay, he's implying that a Christian who doesn't pray and communicate with God really doesn't have much of a relationship with God. Okay, if you remember that Jesus said that in the end, that there will be people that did all kinds of good works in the name of Jesus, and yet he will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. Prayer is your conversation with him. It's how he gets to know your heart. Okay, Jesus said in another place, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, that's how Jesus knows your heart, is when you're praying, you're pouring it out to him. As you cry out to him, he knows what's important to you. It's our connection with him. You really should talk to God every day. Let's talk about how to pray. Excuse me. How do you pray? For starters, you pray in faith. You pray in faith. Okay, pushing doubt completely out of your heart. Okay, I'm saying your heart instead of your mind because it'll be easier to get it out of your heart. Okay, our minds sometimes will want to run scenarios, we'll think negative, all those things. Our minds think how many thousands of thoughts a day? I mean, it's unreal. Push doubt out of your heart that what you value, you have no doubt in that. That when you value God's word or you stand on the truth of God himself and what he is capable of, you have that in your heart and you can pray with faith. Even though your mind may run a scenario that I'm not so sure about that, your heart can be one with God in that way that I believe in my heart. Okay, I say that because of the way that Jesus words many of his instructions about prayer. Look at some of these, my favorite in the entire Bible, in Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, 22 and 23, it says, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Okay, not in your circumstance, not in what you're praying for, not in your knee to quit hurting, not in your friend to get saved. Okay, we don't have faith in that. We have faith in God, that God can do that. Okay, that God can manifest himself, that what God did in his plan through Jesus was enough for that healing to manifest in your body. Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He goes on in verse 24, and Jesus says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. It's talking about prayer in that moment of prayer, that at that moment, you have all doubt pushed out of the picture. You believe that you receive them when you pray, and you shall have them. Now, this is something that I found when I studied, but when possible, it's actually beneficial to lay hands on the person or an object that you are praying for. Okay, I see it all throughout the scriptures, especially in New Testament. You saw even in Old Testament. Everybody remember the story of the prophet that laid on top of a child that had died and his life went into the child and they both stood up? Okay, that was more than a laying on of hands. That was a connection of the entire body. But I'm telling you, there's something special to it, especially in the New Testament. I see this. We often, when we pray for healing for someone, we will actually touch their shoulder or their arm or whatever part of their body it is that they were having trouble with or that was ailing them. When we pray over the church, we'll walk along and touch each and every chair in the building. Okay, we go into the children's church and pray and touch things while we're in there. We anoint the door and the doorpost with oil as we pray and allow God's power and presence to be over every part of the thing. And part of that is touching it. Part of that is the laying on of hands. In Hebrews chapter 6, it actually says the laying on of hands is a principle, a basic fundamental belief of Christ in the Christian church. It is a doctrine of Christ, it's called. It's in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. He's telling them to move beyond this, but he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Okay, laying hands on someone to pray for them is it's a divine and a biblical experience. There is something special when you embrace somebody and pray with them. Okay, or lay hands on someone's forehead or whatever. They're having trouble. You know, you've seen that. TV evangelists made it ugly, okay, at times. But you see that where people will lay their hands on someone when they pray for them. Okay, you're praying for somebody to have soundness of mind and healing in their body and anxiety to go and depression to leave. Okay, why do you do that? You are making a physical connection with where that is and affecting that person. Okay, and you pray for them. Look at a couple scriptures. You'll see what I'm saying. In Matthew 19, 13 through 15. Matthew chapter 19. He's talking about Jesus. It says, there were brought unto him, Jesus, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Okay, they came to him and wanted basically the blessing of Jesus upon their children. And so these children came to him and Jesus embraced them and said, I pray. And he prayed in his own name unto them, but he prays for them. Look at another one. It's in Acts chapter 8. This is the disciples. Acts chapter 8, 14 through 17. It says, now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Do you see that? There's an anointing. There's something special when you lay a hand on someone and are able to pray for them. That's why we're asking you that as you pray for our community, that you drive the streets, okay, praying as you make contact with a particular area. Okay, we went, I don't know what, I had to turn around. I took a wrong turn the other day, and Margie and I, we pulled into, it was a trailer court, and I haven't been in it for many, many years. And we drove in, and I kind of turned around in there, and one of the boys said, what are we doing in trailer court? And of course, Margie, knowing that we're praying for our community, said, well, we're going to pray for them. And so I pray for that person and that, you know, pray for these people in these places. And so we did. We were there. It was a connection. I pray for that person in that blue trailer, you know, with the brown Dodge pickup. I pray in the name of Jesus that they know you, Lord. I pray that their eyes are open. I pray they receive all that you want to give them. And we can pray over them. It's a connection that you have when you drive around or walk through streets. Okay, we've done this, Margie and I, many years ago, where I was a chaplain at the University of Wyoming, and we had a Friday night coffee house, okay, where we opened it up. We had Christian bands come and people that would come, and we'd play like board games, and I would just give them free food and all this stuff. It was a great, great opportunity to minister to a lot of people that were coming out of kind of religious denominations and that stuff. And so we were able to share a lot with people. Well, we had one week, and I can't remember, there was maybe four or five kids that came the whole night. It was kind of geared towards college students, and we only had a handful of kids that came that night. And so You were with me, right? Me and you and a couple other people, we grabbed a bottle of anointing oil. And we went down to that place and we walked all the way around that building, anointing it, covering it in the blood of Jesus, sanctifying it as a place that would draw in people. And that next Friday night, 40, 50, it was packed. And all we did was anoint it with the oil in the name of the Lord and pray over it. There's power in prayer and connecting with who you're praying for. Your prayers are powerful. James said in James 5:16, he said to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, now that term righteous man sometimes throws people for a loop. I'll tell you, if you think that that means that your prayers are not effective because you are not a righteous man or a woman, then that means you're probably not a Christian. You're not saved. Because we didn't make ourselves righteous. Jesus made us righteous. The Bible says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness. You have been made righteous in God's eyes. Okay, what does righteous mean? It means to be in right standing with God. Okay, so if you haven't been made in right standing with God, if you haven't been made so that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Okay, if you haven't been washed clean of all your sins, start there. Okay, and receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive what He did for you on the cross. Receive that cleansing and a washing of all that sin away so that you can be in the presence of God. Okay, and on that moment, you become righteous. Okay, and so the prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Okay, that's the body of Christ. To be effective in your prayer, you want to pray something that I see is to pray according to God's will. Okay, we want to pray according to God's will. 1 John 5:14 and 15. 1 John 5:14 and 15. He says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Okay, if we know that He hears us. Remember how I said earlier we want to get all doubt out of our heart? Okay, if we know that He hears us, we shall have whatsoever we ask. Understanding that is what helps you pray without doubting. Because if I know that God heard me, I know that I will have whatever He asks. So then, I want to pray according to God's will. That's what that verse implies. Whatever we ask according to the will of God, we can rest assured that He heard my prayer. So how do you pray according to the will of God? Well, for starters, praying according to God's will means that you pray in faith. Okay? It all goes back to faith. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. He was talking about praying and asking for wisdom. You can ask God for wisdom. He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, the Bible says. But then it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Okay, that's that moment where you're on again, off again, on again, off again. I believe for this and I believe for that. Yeah, quit believing for this and that. Start believing in Him. Okay, that's how you keep your faith from wavering. Okay, oh God, I'm praying for my foot to feel better. I've been having this pain in my foot. And oh God, I pray for my foot to feel better. Oh, it still hurts. And you know, my foot still... Get your focus off of your foot and get it on God. Because your faith will waver when you put it in the circumstance or that particular thing. And put your faith in God. Okay, that's what it means to pray in faith. Now for me, it's easier to pray in faith when I pray the Word of God. I pray for things, it might not even be word for word. And here's the thing, if you don't have the entire Bible memorized, you're okay. Okay, you can work on it. But if you don't have it memorized, it's okay. Get it into you to the point that you know what God did in people's lives so that you can pray for those things for other people. So as I pray for the lost, I pray that the scales be removed from their eyes, like happened for the Apostle Paul. Or I pray that their eyes of their understanding be opened so that they may know the hope of their calling, which is what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. I can pray for God to protect them and keep them safe because I saw Jesus pray that prayer for us. Okay, we can pray the Word of God over situations. And when you do that, you know that God already did it. You know it's already been done. Okay, so we can pray that in faith and believe for it and see it come to pass. I laid hands on somebody one time that had trouble with her eye. Okay, she was 93 years old, I believe, at the time. And she was having trouble with her eye. Her eye hurt. And me and a friend had gone over to see her at her house. My friend played guitar. And we played and we sang some songs. And she kept complaining about her eye. So I said, you know what? I know a story in the Bible where Jesus laid hand on people's eyes and they were healed. Would you mind if we prayed for you? No, please do. So we did. And we laid hands on her eye. And as soon as we got done, she goes and she blinks a little bit. And she says, you know, my eye's not hurting anymore. Okay, it was easy for me to pray that prayer because I've seen it in the Word of God. Okay, to me, it's praying the Word of God. You're praying in faith because I've already know that God can and has and done and will. Okay, so I believe for that and I can pray it as we pray in faith. You know, if you don't know exactly what to pray, as you're driving or you're thinking about your friends or your family or whoever you're praying for, then pray in the Spirit. Okay, and allow the Holy Ghost to intercede for you according to the will of God related to or regarding whatever it is or whoever it is you're praying for. People ask me about how do you pray in the Spirit? How do you pray in an unknown language? How do you know that it's doing anything? Okay, when I do, my friend that taught me, he said, Gary, all you do is kind of think about who you're praying for and let the Holy Spirit take it from there. Okay, and you begin to pray and let these words come out and flow. And in the name of Jesus, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for the will of God according to the saints, for the saints. Okay, he intercedes with God on our behalf. Romans 8:26 is part of where that comes from. He says, likewise, the Spirit, capital S, he also helps our infirmities or our weaknesses. Okay, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, there's another verse in Romans that also talks about how he intercedes for the saints, and it literally says, according to the will of God. Okay, so if you want your life to be lived unto God, you want to pray according to the will of God, to be able to pray in faith, let Holy do the praying. Okay, you be the object to let him come through you. Now, what should we pray about? Okay, what kinds of things should we pray about? Number one is to pray for one another. Okay, Jesus gives us this example, but so does James. In James 5:16, we read this verse earlier. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The book of Psalms shows us how David prayed many different prayers, and you can look up, there's too many things to go through, but one thing I pulled out, David prayed for deliverance from his enemies. Okay, so what is it that's plaguing you or hindering you, or what sin is it that is leading you into temptation or that you're giving into? Rebuke that. Get rid of it. Pray for deliverance from that. Okay, God has given us that. We want to pray for deliverance. Jesus said, speaking of your enemies, he said to pray for your enemies. Okay, so you want to know who to pray for? Pray for that guy that wronged you in Rawlins, Wyoming. Pray for that guy that hurt you or offended you or wounded you. You know, if you hear of somebody that has been talking about you behind your back or somebody that uses you and then just trashes on you and says you're no good after they just used you, okay, pray for them. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:43. He said, you have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you to love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You can move mountains like that, praying for those who despitefully use you or persecute you. You know, as we pray for our families, we pray for our church, as we cover our community in prayer this month and beyond, pray that people's eyes be open to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the fluffy stuff. Don't tell them come to Jesus and everything will be good and it's all perfect, because it doesn't happen that way. Tell them you come to Jesus so that when you die, you're going to heaven. You come to Jesus so you can be forgiven of your sin. You come to Jesus so you can be born again and start over, okay, in a new relationship with Jesus Christ, in a new relationship with God, and that He will infill you with His Holy Spirit and lead you down the right road. With your prayers, bind the powers of darkness coming against people. Okay, bind up those powers that are hindering people from believing and receiving the true kingdom of God. If you understand the Bible, you'll see that God gave you the authority to bind and to loose. And He said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you bind in heaven is bound on earth. Okay, He said that you could loose things. So you can pray for someone to be loosed from whatever it is that's holding them back. You can pray for the attacks on their life to be bound up, that it doesn't happen anymore. Okay, you should pray that God will send His laborers into the ripe fields of harvest. Okay, again, this is a prayer that Jesus told us to pray. It's in Matthew 9:36. It says, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Okay, that is a frequent prayer when I'm praying for the lost, is that God will send laborers into their path. If they're on the other side of the world or the other side of the country or I can't get there, I'm going to pray for God to send a laborer into their path. Okay, pray for the unity of the church. Okay, if you're looking for things to pray for the unity of the church so that we can go and we can take ground from the enemy as one whole, functioning like it's supposed to be, body. Jesus said that every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. But when people come together in one accord, okay, that's when the walls can be shaken. Okay, that's when the chains will be broken. That's when people are set free from bondage. You know, prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. Prayer alters circumstances and situations so that the will of God can come forth. Our last verse this morning is 2 Chronicles 7:14. God says that if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, let's pray prayers of faith for our community this year. Pray prayers of faith for your family and your loved ones. Pray prayers of faith for your church this year. Let's be of one accord in one mind and one spirit, and let's rock the spiritual realm of Rawlins, Wyoming. Okay, let's pray and see the kingdom of God expand. Let's see what His plan from the beginning, let's see it come to pass in Rawlins, Wyoming. Okay, let's pray fervently. Father, we are praising You this morning. We're grateful. Father, I thank You for Your word and the way that it encouraged us. I thank You for Your examples. I thank You for the power that You then gave us through Jesus, through Your Holy Spirit, Father, to be bold with the gospel, to be bold in our relationship with You, that we can come boldly under the throne of grace and receive help in time of need. We can receive Your grace when we need it. Father, I pray that as we go forth from here, Lord, that we let Your word resonate in our hearts, in our mind. I pray that we learn to push the doubt out, Father, and to press into You with everything we've got. I pray that we focus on You, not circumstances so much as that our focus is zoned in on You, trusting in You and Your greatness, Your almightiness, Your power, Your all-knowingness, all the things that You are. Father, we trust You this morning. We trust You this morning. We receive all that You want to give us. And today, Father, we receive a boldness in our prayer life. Help us to walk it out, Lord, to not just say that we pray, but to actually do it. To be men and women of prayer, truly seeking you and staying passionate and hungry for you. Father, we're trusting you this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.